I don't want to pick up where I left off. It's chart A.8, please. I want to look one more time at A.8 and talk about this blindness that he mentioned there. I tried to get to all of his charts in my first speech, and I believe I got to all but three of them. I'm going to notice those three now. He will have a chance to reply to these, by the way, in the rebuttal period this evening. Genesis 21 through 7, Old Testament example. If Abimelech had committed the sin, taken Sarah's wife, it would have been a sin of ignorance. If he had committed a sin of ignorance, he would have been a dead man. That's not really where I wanted to read this next verse. This next verse I really want to read with reference to A.7. Would you put that back on there, please? This idea of spiritual blindness. And if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Open Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. We have this statement by Jesus, written, of course, recorded or revealed to John and written by John to the seven churches of Asia. And I can't think of an example of a congregation that was any more decadent than the congregation at Laodicea. And notice what he says here, Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, under the angel of the church of Laodicea, right, these things saith, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Notice verse 17, he says, that they say, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Now they were ignorant, yes. What they were ignorant of was the fact that they were wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. But wherein was their blindness? Was their blindness due to ignorance? No, their blindness is due to their lukewarm attitude toward God's will. And that's the same thing in Matthew 15:14, the context there. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, he's not dealing with people who are striving to do what God wants them to do, but they're simply ignorant about some of those things. He asked me a question. I didn't get it exactly, you can correct me if I'm wrong, when does a sin of ignorance separate a Christian from God, or something like that? A sin of ignorance separates a child of God from God, yes, when he discovers that sin and does not turn from it. Because then he has an attitude of not doing what God has revealed. Then he knows what God has revealed, and then he makes the decision not to do what God has revealed. I want to notice this chart 8.9. Two questions. 2 John verse 9, referring to that, he says the doctrine of Christ, those that abide in it have God, those therefore that sin have God, those that do not abide in the Christ have not God. Instrumental music, he says, is outside the doctrine of Christ. He says, where is the sin of instrumental music or any other sin committed in ignorance? Well, the sin of instrumental music or any other sin committed in ignorance is outside the doctrine of Christ. I do not doubt that, and I do not deny that. But again, are we dealing with an individual who knows and who ought to know that instrumental music is wrong, or are we dealing with an individual who simply hasn't grown to that point in his spiritual life? In Romans 6:23, the wages of life is death. Well, the wages of sin is death is what the passage says. And if you say all sin, well, you're adding to the passage. You say only sins are committed knowingly. If I was to say that, I'd be adding to the passage. And if somebody said no sin, they'd be taken away from the passage. It says the wages of sin is death. But does that mean that an individual dies as soon as he sins? You know, the church at Laodicea still had its candlestick. The church at Laodicea still had its candlestick. It was still one of the Lord's churches.
It was in danger of losing its candlestick if it didn't repent. But surely that church was more steeped in sin than any other congregation in the New Testament. Here's chart 8.10, please. He brought up 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And others judging with Paul, he didn't, I don't know, he may have read that verse and I just didn't catch it. But certainly you should have your Bibles and be following along with us when we do read from the Bible or even refer to the Bible. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself or against myself, some versions say. Yet in my mind hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Well, I believe the same thing. And that's exactly why before I go to bed at night, I ask God to forgive me of my sins. Because just because I'm ignorant of any sin that I may have committed that day, that doesn't mean I'm justified. So I ask God to forgive me of my sins. And I turn from the sins that I discover in my life as I study and learn from God's will and examine my life in the light thereof. And just because Paul said he wasn't justified just because he didn't know of a sin in his life, it doesn't prove that he could not receive forgiveness of his sins without specifically learning of it and turning from it. And so that, by the way, I don't believe any of these positions are true. I don't hold any one of those positions. If you want me to elaborate on that, I'll be glad to, but that's all I'm going to say about it right now. Here's chart 8.11, I'm sorry. All right, the Lord repented of the evil which he thought of doing to his people. All right, changed his mind, changed one's mind there. The Lord changed his mind about destroying his people. When a Christian commits a sin, he is required to change his mind concerning, repent of, that sin. That's 8.2, this by wickedness. In other words, he must make up his mind to quit that sin. My opponent believes a Christian, now he's talking about me here, of course, believes a Christian can be forgiven for a sin that he commits, if it's in ignorance, without actually making up his mind to quit the sin, and I do not believe that. Before I became a Christian, I made up my mind that I would quit every sin that I discovered in my life. And when I discover a sin in my life, unless I renege on that repentance, which would indicate turning my back upon the Lord, unless I renege on that repentance, I will turn from that sin at that point. And if I don't, then I'm separated from God because of it. As a matter of fact, my opponent believes a Christian should be forgiven for a sin even while he continues to practice the sin. Well, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Depending, again, upon other factors, such as 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Here's A1.12, please. A Christian must confess a sin in order to be forgiven of it. 1 John 1, verse 9. Actually, that verse says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do you confess your sins? I confess mine, too. But you can't confess something of which you're ignorant. Now, if you are ignorant of some sins in your life, or if it is possible that you may be guilty of some sins in your life, and therefore you have not turned from those sins, does that mean that you don't repent of your sin? If you haven't learned of that sin and haven't confessed it, does that mean you don't confess your sin? Yes, I believe a Christian must confess his sins in order to be forgiven of his sins. 1 John 1:9 teaches that, and I believe that. Either does not say you have to confess every sin that you commit in order to be forgiven of it. You can't confess a sin of which you are ignorant. Now, you can strive to dispel your ignorance of God's Word by studying His Word and then turning from every sin you discover in your life. And that's exactly what God expects. And so that deals with the rest of it. Now, I want to see not the next chart in my list there, but the one under that, please, Brent. Now, what that position requires of every Christian is a complete understanding of God's revealed will. Because if you don't have a complete understanding of God's revealed will, you may be guilty of sin. You may be. If you don't have a complete understanding of God's revealed will, you may be guilty of sin of ignorance. But it also requires total recall. You may be guilty of a sin of ignorance, or have committed a sin of ignorance in the past, and not remember it.
You don't have total recall, even once you gain complete understanding of God's revealed will. You may not know the term from a sin you committed 25 years ago in your ignorance. And so unless a Christian has both complete understanding of God's revealed will and total recall, how could he be sure that he had confessed every sin that he had ever committed as a child of God? And therefore, how could he have any assurance in your position? I realize you don't have another speech now, but you can deal with that in your rebuttal. And let's see, my next chart after that one. Let's look at that one right there. That one right there, please. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we have a passage that I believe we need to appreciate more. Verse 5 beginning, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you abound, they may teach you to neither be bad nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. What things? Well, after your faith, and by the way, whenever belief and repentance and confession and baptism or any number of those are listed, belief does not mean the same thing that it means when it stands alone. When belief is used as one condition of salvation, it means believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so, yes, when you have faith in that fact, you repent of your sins, confess your faith, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you become a baby in Christ, you begin to add to your faith virtue, the virtue of knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness love. And Peter says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, Pat says, the sin is to fall. So if you do these things, you shall never sin. Because if you did sin, you'd fall.